Thanks, Dan. Will you join me in thanking Dan for his great care and coordination of all of us together? Great stuff. I want to just tag team on top of what he shared about the end of year goal together. Amazing teamwork, truly. Amazing teamwork. Your regular faithful tithes and offerings, plus then extra generous offerings at year end, push us through the finish line. Wow. Can we just all together say a great big hallelujah? Let's say it together. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Truly, praise the Lord. This involved, I just want you to know, this involved everything from kiddos. We caught this in the last couple of weeks. There were some kiddos who said, I want to give my 50 cents. It involved 50 cents up to an extra $50 to $500. And some of you did thousands and thousands of dollars. So thank you. Thank you so much. What a testimony to trusting Father more. Truly, all we do as a church is a faith endeavor constantly. We talked about it all year long, trusting Father more. Listening close to Christ's Spirit, leading us to pray strong, give strong, and finish strong. So deepest heartfelt thanks. Big praise and glory. Hallelujah to God for his stirring in our hearts and his faithful supply. Truly. I have a great big question for you as we start this message and this brand new series, Your Omni Year. It's a serious question. Why does stepping into a new calendar year feel so challenging? I mean, beyond the scramble of days, most of us this week had trouble keeping track of which day of the week it was. That happened in your life? Which day is it? Besides the scramble of days and the calendar, what makes it so challenging? Overwhelming even. I can remember a few years back, this being true in my own life at the start of the year. Early in the year, I needed to take a plane ride to a conference, and it was something that had been booked weeks, months in advance, and I needed to do this. And I remember sitting there on the plane ride to this conference feeling utterly overwhelmed. Just utterly, I mean, spent, and we were only a matter of days into the new year, and I felt overwhelmed. What is it? What is it that can feel so overwhelming? What is it that evokes in us fear and dread and at points dark desperation? What is it? No bones about it, no bones about your biggest obstacle. We're just going to stare it in the face this morning as we think about an omni year to come. Here it is, no bones about it. You have enemies. You have enemies. I have enemies. We all have enemies. We do. Some enemies might indeed be literal, physical, potentially hateful and harmful people. That is true in a hard and dark world. But others are hauntingly spiritual, psychological, and metaphorical. What are your enemies as you head into the new year? I challenge you to do something difficult as we start this morning. Actually stare at them. Actually think about them for a moment. Lock on. What are your enemies as you head into the new year? Could be hateful attitudes and opposition from supposed friends or family. Might be your enemies, truly. Might be gossiping, vengeful coworkers or people in competition and business with you. Could be your enemies. It might be a disease that's racking your body or a loved one, and you know it and recognize it as an all-out enemy. It could be deep-seated vices and long-term addictions that are your enemies. Could be tempestuous trials that just will not go away, tribulations constantly haunting you, devilishly aiming to take you out. But I have another question for you, a bigger, better question. What if you encountered someone big enough, strong enough, mighty enough to help you face every one of those enemies and more? What if? It's the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah who asserted with these words, Jeremiah 32, verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Will you say it with me if you want to? Join in. Let's say it aloud together. Oh, Lord God, It is you who have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. Incredible, powerful assertion by the old prophet Jeremiah. He was asserting that God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Jeremiah was time traveling. He was time traveling back to creation. Do you catch it here? Creation in Genesis chapter 1. The one who made all the heavens and the earth. He was also time traveling to Abraham and Sarah's story in Genesis 17 and 18. The old prophet was echoing how God is almighty. Almighty. Almighty enlivens our understanding, of omnipotence. It's so much more than a vivid descriptor or a smooth-sounding piece of divine nomenclature. Almighty, most definitely, God possesses all might. But Almighty is revelatory. Don't miss this connection. Almighty is revelatory of how he works in this world, joining his character with the humans he placed here. Almighty is the intersection of his character with humanity and his events within the world. Almighty. We dare not miss the connection, this connection still for us today. Still for us today in 2025. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. At the start of this new year, what seems really hard for you? What is it? Insurmountable even. What is it? What feels ridiculously out of reach? What situation looks like a no-go, nada, never, an utter loss? Got that situation in mind? Or a frightening enemy even? You have it in mind? For me, that gargantuan enemy I was facing that morning on the plane several years ago was one that haunts me often. I got to be honest with you, maybe this one haunts you. It's the enemy of what if. Anybody else? What if? What if? What if things don't go as I hope and plan for this year? What if the worst hits instead of the best? What if I don't have what it takes? What if, and you can fill in the blank, that enemy, what if? Now process this bigger truth. Here it is, bigger truth. Omnipotence means your God is all powerful. Omnipotence means your God is all powerful. Here's where our little word omni, meaning all, or to the utmost, combos with potent and makes a powerful difference. When omni and potent get together, whoa, watch out, powerful difference. Potent means something or someone is powerful, strong enough to affect a stunning difference. If your kids played muddy football, drop stained jeans in the laundry pile, don't tell you. Those of you who are in charge of laundry in your house, a bunch of you are grinning right now. They don't tell you. Or if your husband was out for a business lunch and he spilled something on his good pressed white or blue linen shirt during lunch and didn't do anything about it and didn't tell you about it and you find it in the laundry pile, what? Well, you need something potent, don't you? You need a potent stain remover. If you've got a won't quit cough with your pesky cold, those are going around right now. What do you need? You need a potent cough syrup to squelch it and get better. When you deeply desire to advance an idea during a meeting at work, you want a couple potent team members, powerful influencers on your side to move it across the line. Omnipotent means God is almighty in power. Omnipotent means God, your God, is almighty in power. This is really crucial at the beginning of a year, because if I'm not careful, I stumble and fumble and befuddled, move into a new year and forget this. The weight of the previous year and all that stares me in the face, that stares you in the face going into a new year, can feel overwhelming, can feel enemy-like, and it's easy to forget that he is indeed omnipotent. Paul David Tripp explains even more. Love what Paul David Tripp says. Watch this. Speaking of God, he says, he can do without effort whatever he wills at any time and in any place he chooses to exercise his power. This means God is utterly and completely unique in power. There's nothing in heaven or on earth that is comparable in power to God. God's power has no limits. There's nothing that God cannot do. Slow down to think on that. Nothing that God cannot do according to his will and pleasure, and nothing can inhibit or stop God's exercise of his power. Let's get in our Omni machine and go time traveling. Let's join with what Jeremiah did and time travel. Across this series, we'll time travel a variety of times all across the series to biblical scenes. And quite often, most often, we'll be visiting the two most famous shepherds, Shepherd King David and his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Shepherd King Jesus. At a pivotal time in Israel's communal life, God's people were up against their archenemies, the Philistines, an enemy that could readily take them out. Battle lines were drawn in the Valley of Elah. So we're in the Omni machine, whoosh, we land on the edge of the Valley of Elah to look on in the scene. Israelites were on one side of the valley, Philistines on the other side. I invite you to look at 1 Samuel 17. Go ahead and jump there. 1 Samuel 17. Who should appear but the mightiest of the Philistines? Goliath. Mightiest of the Philistines. A humongous, giant-like character emerges there in the valley, and he shouts taunts against God's people, challenging them. So much so that his daily taunts, that he would come out every day about the same time and shout these taunts and jeers, that they had all the Israelite soldiers and leaders shaking in their armor and shaking their heads in despair. How could they ever win against such a gargantuan enemy? They had no one able to match him, or so they thought. No one powerful enough to face this giant warrior, or so they thought. Certainly not their current supposed ruler, Saul. Then who to their wondering eyes should appear? Just a youth, a young lad sent by his aged daddy from Bethlehem to deliver cheese and bread to his big brothers. Nothing powerful about this young lad. In fact, in the lineup with his brothers, the ancient story lets us know he was the least mighty, least likely, least qualified. Only a shepherd boy, David. Now, modern pictures like this one can be rather hyperbolic, exaggerated. Yes, this one may have been AI generated. I'm not sure, probably. But the old story itself in the ancient Hebrew narrative paints a vivid contrast between these two characters. At best, young shepherd boy David is 16, maybe 17 years old at best. After all the comical vetting, and then there's comical vetting in the story. You can see it there in 1 Samuel 17, from brothers, from Saul, and other supposed experts. David stepped up against the towering adversary. In response to Goliath's bombastic speech, the uniquely experienced shepherd approached him, probably with his shepherd staff, maybe. But the text lets us know, he approaches him with, well, wow, a sling and 5 smooth stones in his pouch. A sling, just a few pieces of leather. Whew. Wow. And 5 smooth stones. 5 of them. By the way, this one actually came from the Valley of Elah, for real. I was there a number of years ago and plucked this out. I'm pretty convinced this is the very one. So, in those ancient times, someone needing to protect themselves or their flock would place the stone in, and then... No, I'm not going to do it. I know you really, really want me to, but that would be dangerous and deadly, and I would have some new enemies if I did that. So he comes at him with a sling and 5 smooth stones. Now, I'm a big Tolkien fan. Some of you know that. So what transpires next in the 1 Samuel story conjures scenes in my mind from The Hobbit. I can see an undersized hobbit going up against one of the monstrous trolls. Are you with me? In moments to follow there at the Valley of Elah, the youthful underdog's words echoed off the valley's rocks and trees, spotlighting the omnipotence of his almighty God. His words echoed and spotlighted the omnipotence of his almighty God. Catch 1 Samuel 17. If you have it open, you can look on. 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 47. Shepherd boy David's words are potent because his God is omnipotent. Then David said to the Philistine, 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47, verses 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." We sang about that name earlier. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Now, wow. Incredible words. "And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth," talk about omni-living, listen, "that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that all," talk about omni-living, "all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Now ponder what resounded from the young shepherd's heart and lips. He proclaimed in those moments there in the valley God's fully reliable, strong character. David declared he was coming against that dastardly giant in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was saying, "Big guy, you think you've got all the goods to defeat us. You're blabbering defiantly, blowing big bravado. Your trust is in sword, spear, and javelin, weaponry you can see and wield. I step up against you in the authority, empowerment, protection, and offensive strength of the Lord of hosts. He is the one who is always present with us and leading even bigger armies, a host you can't even see. The Lord will deliver you into my hand today. The Lord saves." David was, do you catch it? He was ridiculously confident, but not a bit cocky about his own power. He was ridiculously confident about the Lord's almighty strength. The same one who had already delivered a bear and a lion, he talks about it, he had delivered a bear and a lion into his hand, would now deliver this vile, uncircumcised one into his hand. And the young shepherd's heart, mind, mouth of his God was decidedly omnipotent. Young David had practiced, note it, he had practiced with his sling and he had prepared deep in his heart. He had practiced with his sling and he had prepared deep in his heart. With just one stone, He took five, first shot, one shot, boom, the giant fell. No doubt in that moment, the ground shook with a monstrous thud. Soldiers on both sides gasped. All went silent. Special note, this picture is very wrong. Very wrong. Again, probably AI. It's very wrong. Not just with David's size. After we read of Goliath's stunning demise with just a sling and a stone, the ancient Hebrew text makes an extra poignant point of telling us, look at it, 1 Samuel 17, verse 50. There was no sword in the hand of David. There was no sword in the hand of David. Goliath was already dead. Only after the fact did young David grab Goliath's sword and triumphantly take off his head. What transpired in those moments was no typical victory, no typical victory. David's skill and faith brought him down, but Israel's omnipotent Lord was the hero. David's skill and faith brought the giant down, but David's omnipotent Lord was the hero. It's the apex. It's the whole point of the story. So I invite you to ponder two almighty steps in the face of your enemies and your obstacles for 2025. Two almighty steps. Here they are. It's certainly appropriate, crucial even, to start the opening weeks and months of the year in pursuit of sling and stone skills training. Yes, tactical, hands-on skill sets and practices. Don't shy away from aspiring to your own sling and stone skills training. It's a great first step. Absolutely. So register for that new training class that's sure to broaden your horizons. Start sketching the fresh business plans or renewed, revived plans for your business. Build that list of books to read, the ones in a new arena where you've been dreaming and scheming and wanting to go. Curate a list of people with whom you want to further your healthy friendships, connections, and strategic client relationships. Absolutely, go there. Crucial to answer the question, what are those new endeavors I really sense I should embrace in order to grow my skills and implementation and then execution? Sling and stone skills training. David did it, and we can, we should do it, especially at the outset of a new year. There's no doubt about it. David had practiced. He had practiced with sling and stone. He took that first step of skill set training, but his even bigger preparation had transpired in the depths of his heart and soul. His even bigger preparation had transpired every day in the depths of his heart and soul. Day by day, he had patiently discovered that his God was and is all-powerful. As a result, he could go up against any enemy. He could face every obstacle, whether man or beast. Vital to take a second almighty step, heart and soul training. Heart and soul training. Facing your most ferocious enemies at the start of this year, facing your biggest obstacles at the start of this year, your greatest fears and all your what ifs, step forward with this David-like dynamic duo. Dynamic duo indeed. Fresh commitment, set out to learn, practice, and get better in your tactical skills. Yes. But then, even more importantly, commit to the good work of heart and soul. More intimately connect with the Lord himself. More intimately, closely, faithfully commit to connecting with the Lord himself. Let the biblical truths you encounter in our coming messages in the coming weeks work on you in transformative ways, reshaping your perspective on who God is and how he wants to prove himself real and vibrantly active in your life. Get that close to God this year. Yes, very personally, get involved with God every day. J.I. Packer urges this realization. I love what Packer said years ago. Knowing God is a matter of personal involvement in mind, will, and feeling. It would not indeed be a fully personal relationship otherwise. Think about it. To get to know another person, you have to commit yourself to his company and interests. Without this, Packer says your relationship with him can only be superficial and flavorless. The believer is and must be emotionally involved in the victories and vicissitudes of God's cause in the world. Just as Sir Winston Churchill's personal staff were emotionally involved in the ups and downs of the war. Powerful connections right here from Packer. Packer calls us to pursue knowing God, to pursue knowing God in a multifaceted way. Indeed, plan to be more in the shepherd's company this coming year through both daily devotion and weekly communal gatherings with others. And both daily devotion with your shepherd and weekly communal gatherings like this with others. Plan to devote yourself, to involvement with his greater kingdom concerns and causes in the world. Why? To add more to your to-do list? To make you busier? To make you somehow more guilty? No. No, because the reality is when someone matters to you, when developing a relationship matters, what do? You spend time with that person. You devote yourself to them. You prioritize. And you plan for those spots where in attitude and action you will consistently be with that person you say you love with all your heart. Plan to devote yourself to involvement with his greater kingdom concerns and causes in the world. Consider and decide additional ways to take this heart and soul step. I challenge you to consider these additional ways to take the heart and soul step. Wednesday evening seminars are going to be starting again. A bunch of you have said to us in previous weeks, are we going to do those again? The answer is yes. Next week, we'll be sharing more details about some of those seminar options. They're going to be running the beginning of February through early March. So invite you to protect the Wednesdays in the 1st of February through early March. We're excited about those again. They're also going to be fresh life group re-engagement and involvement opportunities together. And you're going to be warmly invited to jump in and be involved. This brand new resource that we've developed here, this brand new book, same title, Your Omni-Year. We have a bulk order of these coming in soon, and these will be available coming up on a Sunday very soon for all of you to have. It's full of other additional goodies besides the Sunday message talk stuff. There's all kinds of other stuff that will inspire you, encourage you, and help you think both deeper and wider about your Omni-God. Bible read-through plans. I mentioned this last week, and a number of you chatted with me about during the week about it. There's listen-through, read-through opportunities in YouVersion, and there's still time to jump in on one of those all through the Bible, all year long plans. And if you haven't done it yet, it is a great way to daily spend time with your good shepherd. There's a spot like Lectio 365. Speaking of Lectio Divina and what it means to read and meditate and reflect in the divine every day. I also want to encourage you to commit, to actually doggedly commit to Sunday participation like this. Great start. Great way to start the new year. Seriously, it's wonderful. What would it be like for you and your family to say, you know what, we're going to do our doggone to be there every Sunday this coming year? How about serving with a team? Again, this is not about a guilt trip. This isn't about add something more to your already tedious to-do list, but to actually say, I'm going to commit to be in on the shepherd's causes this year in such a way that I make a difference by serving on a team here at church. And again, in coming weeks, you're going to hear more about serving opportunities and what that's like Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about our great good shepherd. It's all about joining with his concerns and his causes in this world. All these and more will fortify your heart and soul. And it's vital to remember, in the midst of all of this, it's vital to remember why. Why? Because your enemies are many. Your enemies are many, and enemies come our way in many forms. I find it very encouraging that when he was telling the Corinthians of his travel plans, the Apostle Paul explained it like this. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Look at what he said. Powerful words. For wide door for effective work has opened to me. Maybe you feel that way about this year coming up. Wide door open. The opportunities are open wide in front of me. I hope you're greeting the year like that with anticipation. A number of you are smiling and saying, yeah, I hope so. Wide door for effective work. And there are many adversaries, many enemies. It's why we need our souls, our hearts fortified like this. This also tells me that Paul knew his own share of what-if enemies. He could relate to how I felt that morning several years ago, sitting on that plane and shaking my head and feeling overwhelmed. Wow, so much what-if. Paul knew about that. Don't miss your significant New Year call to both emotional and tactical pursuits. Remember, that dynamic duo will work wonders in you stepping into all God has in store this year. Remember, discovering more of the divine omni will lead you into more of your own omni living every day. Discovering more of the divine omni will lead you into greater omni living every day. When you discover that your God truly is almighty, then you can step into more and more of all he has in store for you. Make your personal omni response today. Will you do that? Make your personal omni response today. Decide today, this year, I will be all in. Have you decided and declared with strong resolve, God, I am all in. This is my year to make it all about you, Jesus, all about you. Decide today. Your personal omni response. God is almighty, so you can be all in, all of you, loving him with all you are. Hear again Jesus' challenge in Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Hear Jesus say it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. When you're coming to know him as truly almighty, when you're coming to encounter divine nature, his all for you, in you, through you, then you're able to step even more into what it means to live all in for him. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That ancient enemy, the devil, Satan, the villain and accuser of our souls, is no match for your ultimate shepherd. After all, think about it. Your ultimate great shepherd, Jesus, has already triumphed over the enemy on the cross. He has already, in his work on the cross, saved you and is transforming you. And ultimately, he moved a stone way bigger than this stone that rolled toward a giant's head. He rolled that ultimate stone away from the grave and brings to you and to me that daily victory to live. God is almighty. So you can be all in, all of you, loving him with all you are this year, because he is the Lord who saves. This will set you up. This will set you up. This will set us up for walking boldly into all he has in store in 2025. Let's stay honest here at the start. There are still numerous emotional giants that would love to bring you down, that would love to bring me down. We can grow in tactical skills with sling and stone. Yes, we can even start to make progress in who we know God to be as our personal almighty Lord. but giant levels of anxious care, our daily worries can entangle us and hold us back. So here at the start, let's bring all our enemies, all the obstacles, all of what seems too hard, all the what ifs directly before our Almighty Lord. I want to invite you, challenge you, in the next few minutes, as we sing a final couple songs and enter into a time of decision, I want to challenge you to bring those enemies and those obstacles and all your what ifs directly to the feet of your Almighty Lord, and your heart and mind in these moments, lay them before him and say, okay, here it is. Go ahead, be bold, describe them to him. He can handle it. Describe them. And then boldly say, I know nothing is too hard for you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you are almighty, and I will walk in that new reality in 2025. Listen to that again. Lay it out before him and then say, I know nothing is too hard for you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you are almighty, and I will walk in that new reality in 2025. It's wonderful for us to take this important heart and soul step this year, the start of this year. And so in the next few minutes, as we sing a couple final songs and we enter in prayer together, I invite you to pray like that. Next time together, we'll step even further into this vital arena, how God's omnipotence meets all our anxiety. We've all got anxiety. How God's omnipotence meets all our anxiety. Let's stand together. Let's pray together. And we're going to sing some more praise to our great, all-powerful God. Lord, we thank you right now in these moments that here at the outset of 2025, we can encounter you, holy, almighty. Holy, almighty, Lord, thank you. Please open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears, our eyes, to see you more fully, all-powerful God. To see you in greater ways in all your omnipotence here at the start of 2025, so that we can step into all you have in store, Lord. We come right now with enemies in mind. We come with obstacles, with heartaches, with great big what ifs in mind. Thank you that you are bigger, stronger. Thank you that you are omnipotent. We love you, Lord. Right now in these moments, we want to set you apart as holy in our perspective, Jesus. You're wonderful. You are great. We thank you. Amen. Let's sing out. Let's prayerfully reflect together.